Okay, I have one big aim, and that is to make the Bible less intimidating to you. The Bible is scary to most of you. Like, I'm going to leave that up to the pros. You just tell me what it says. And then the second thing I want to do today is to get you excited about the 2026 reading plan. And so, believe it or not, we're going to make it through this thing twice. I know. Whatever. Okay, when I was growing up, I was always 3 years younger than my sister. And so when I was in second grade, she was in fifth. When I was in third grade, she was in sixth. And I would look at my math, and then I would look at her math homework. And I thought, I will never be smart enough to understand that. And I would look at my spelling words, cat, bat, rat. And I would look at her spelling words, anaconda, like whatever. And I always thought I was never going to be smart enough to get it. And I think many of you think that way about the Bible. Like, oh, there's just too many names. It's just too confusing. So are you ready for this? We're going to make it manageable to you. It's going to be less intimidating. So these right here, this is every book in the Bible, 66 of them. Genesis to Esther is going to read like a story. This happened, then this happened, then this happened. Okay, you'll get that. 17 books, 17 prophets. These were messages that God spoke to people who were supposed to tell the nation of Israel. All these happened right here. That's it. That's your whole Bible. You got five books of wisdom in the middle: Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. That's your entire Old Testament. You didn't think it was that simple, did you? Thousands of years of history. And then there's 400 years of silence where there is no word from God. The last book, Malachi, says, I'm going to send a messenger to prepare the way for the Lord. That's it, 400 years of silence. Main event, Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Main event. Then the book of Acts is the spread of the church for 30 years. Get it? Missionary journeys, and then these are just letters written to churches that were visited there, and it ends with Revelation, where this whole thing is going. That's your entire Bible. It's not so scary, is it? Okay, any questions? I mean it, I'm serious. Is that less intimidating than you thought? All right, so what I want to say is 2026 is going to blow your minds if you read it. And the story is about God. The Bible is about God. It's not about us. So a lot of people read their Bibles going, what do you got for me today? What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to go left or am I supposed to go right? And it's a story for you to be amazed with God. That's why it's written. It's God's word. So I was just going to walk you through this a little bit slower now so you understood the big picture. Genesis just literally means the beginnings, where it all came from. Where did the world start? What about the nations? Get this. God picks Abraham for no reason at all. Abraham has 12 boys. Those are the 12 tribes of Israel. That's it. You just figured out the whole nation of Israel. They have a lot of kids, all right? A lot of kids. They run out of food. They go down to Egypt for food, and they get stuck there as slaves. And then 400 years of slavery in Egypt, God rescues them. That's the Exodus. You saw it up on the screen. Crazy story, but God leads them through the water because the army's coming behind them. Gets them to the other side, 600,000 people. This crazy story. You're going to read it. And then they get to the other side. They see the Egyptian army coming. Can you imagine that? They are angry. All their firstborns just died because they didn't let the people go. And the sea crashes in. Every single one of them dies. That's what it says. And that led... Whoa, we got praise right here. I'm serious, that led to the very first worship song in the Bible when they say, who is like our God destroying rider and horse in the sea? And they just are amazed. That's Exodus 15. Numbers, Well, first of all, Leviticus, this is where you guys will give up. Don't give up. It's a book written to Levite priests. That's why it's so boring to you. And it is with its main purpose to say, you can't just waltz into the presence of God. He's holy and you're not. You have to go through this sacrificial system because the blood of an animal has to die so that you don't. And then there's the presence of God. That's why it's written, but don't skip it. Nadab and Abihu offer the wrong sacrifice. These are priests in Leviticus 10, and they are smoked. They both get burned up. Don't miss it. Numbers, we should change that name. It's not really called Numbers. I don't know why we call it Numbers, but it's actually called In the Wilderness. That's the Hebrew meaning of the word. Wandering around in the wilderness. It makes it sound like a math class. Boring. There's no math teachers here today, is there? Math is exciting. No, it's in the wilderness. And if you read it, Numbers 22, a donkey talks and says, "Why you beat me?" I know, you guys, I'm telling you, you're missing out. It's the most amazing story. Deuteronomy is just the second giving of the law. You just repeat it. Okay, I'm going too slow. But Joshua conquers the promised land. Judges, when you get to Judges, it is the darkest, wickedest, evil time in your Bible. You will be surprised that this stuff's in the Bible. I had a guy read through Genesis this week, and he asked me, he goes, "What is up with all of the sexual perversion in Genesis? It's just everywhere." And I go, "Are you surprised?" This is the world. But the point is, the Bible records this because it happened, not because it is to be modeled. But the point of recording it is to say God is going to work through even the messiest situation. The first family, Israel, was the most dysfunctional, screwed up family you could ever imagine. One guy marries two sisters. Shouldn't have. Should only married one. And they can't have kids, and so they have a childbearing contest, and they say, "Sleep with my servants, and it'll count for me." And then God's like, "These are my people. These are my people." So just know, God works through the messes. And then Judges is dark. It says there's no king in Israel. Everyone just did what was right in their own eyes. For you guys who are anti-government, this is what your life would look like if you had full restraint. And it is wicked. These are stories. You're going to get Samuel. That's David and Goliath. Kings. There's 42 kings. And they were bad. Mostly evil. Did not follow the Lord. All the way to Ezra and Nehemiah. And that's rebuilding of the temple. Okay, I'm losing you. But here's what you need to know. These 17 prophets were messengers to God's people in this time. And that is why the chronological Bible is going to make sense to you. Because you're not just going to read Isaiah just randomly. You're going to read it where he spoke it in this section. That is why it's going to make sense. But I need you to know that prophets were not just willy-nilly. Deuteronomy 18:20 says this: "Any prophet who falsely claims to speak in my name or in the name of another god needs a spanking." That's not what it says. It says you're done. They die. But you may wonder, well, how are we going to know whether a prophecy is from the Lord? This guy's saying, this message is from the Lord. What's he say? If that prophet speaks in the Lord's name, but his prediction does not happen, you will know that I did not give that guy that message. And you don't need to fear him. So it was a very, very serious thing in those days to say, "God told me," and then you start speaking. I still kind of shiver when someone tells me that. Because if he didn't tell you, nobody dressed up as a prophet for Halloween. They would die if what they said didn't come true. So those are the prophets. These books, Psalms, is written over 1,000 years. They're just songs. You're going to get the highest range of human emotion. "I praise you, Lord. There's nobody like you. I only want you." And then you're going to have the depths of sorrow. "My bed is a flood of tears. Why don't you hear me when I cry to you?" 150 Psalms are going to be scattered throughout the whole Old Testament. Can't wait. Oh, to let you in on this, I have never done the chronological. I've only read it traditionally. And the reason it's like this is just for groupings. These are major prophets right here. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. You want to know why they're major? Is it because they're more important? No, they're just longer. That's it. I know. This Bible's more manageable than you think. 60 chapters instead of these guys. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, all these guys, they're just shorter. 10 chapters, 8 chapters, 4 chapters. You're gonna like this, but guess how they arranged the letters of the New Testament? Why is Romans first? And then 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Why? Length. Who said it? Yes. Like, what? Yes, they put Paul's longest letter first. He didn't write Romans first. It's just longer. Okay. I had something I was going to say next. This is why I don't do notes. Yes, prophets all had the same message. I do need notes. I thought extra caffeine would get me through today. It didn't work. Most all of these prophets have the same message. Turn from your sin and turn back to God. That's what was going on. Okay, I do have a Bible map because we're also going to sum up the Bible. Oh, this is why I got my laser pointer. Look at me. Okay. All right, your entire Bible, it takes place right here. This is where Genesis happens. Genesis, Abraham. And they go, hey, leave your land, go to where I will show you, the land of Canaan. This is Jerusalem right here. So we're in Genesis. Exodus happens down here in Egypt. They get pulled out of Egypt, come across the Red Sea here, and then they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And then they go to the promised land, Joshua, they fight it, take it over. And for 800 years, they're their own nation. They were so disobedient, so wicked, they never followed God, and so they got exiled all the way over to here, to Assyria and Babylonia. And then after 70 years in exile, they come back. Jesus shows up. Look at that. You see that thing moving? The wind. Okay. I thought I was getting dizzy there. Like, it's too much coffee. Gosh. I'm still here, right? And then get this, so that's your whole Old Testament, thousands of years of history. The New Testament only covers 90 years of history, but get this, the Messiah came and said, now spread the message. And all the way in the book of Acts, they are all the way up to here, farther than any length that the Old Testament traveled, the gospel is spread in the first 30 years. Until we figure out where this whole thing ends. What's the next slide I have that's a point? Yes, marvel at the historical Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John is the main event of the Bible. And you know what makes our faith different from every other faith? Is that ours is real. Look into Hinduism, it's whack. And it's just made up. This guy actually walked on the earth. Hundreds and hundreds of people saw him publicly crucified. Hundreds and hundreds of people saw him buried. And then he appeared later, 3 days, walking around to 500 people. I tell people all the time, if you could prove to me that Jesus did not rise from the dead, I would deny the faith. And I really mean that. Because I am banking everything on this Jesus being real. And if he's real, the rest is real. Okay, what's the next one I have? They're supposed to give me a flag if this gets boring or I'm just starting to rattle. I don't know any other way that God speaks to me personally than through his word. That is the only way I've heard God speak to me. I have spent weeks fasting and praying for a decision for God to tell me, do I go this way or that way? And the only thing I hear is his word. And every word in this book comes out of his mouth. So you cannot spend too much time in God's word. Try it. Try it. It's an inside joke me and Ty have. Do not ask about it. But try it. Try to spend some time in God's word. Trent did it. Dennis did it. These people just spend time in the word. My wife did it. She said last year was like the best year of her life, and she's like, the only thing I can think of is I spent more time in God's Word, because it surely wasn't you, Jason. Amen, sister.
What's the next slide?
This is it, right here. This is God's Word. This is his entire book. Everything that he would want to say to the world is in these 66 books. So you might have a question. What about the Catholic Bible? It has 73 books. The entire New Testament of the Catholic Bible is the same. The entire Old Testament of the Catholic Bible is the same. And right here, from 300 BC to 100 BC, there is seven more historical books called the Apocrypha. And it's like 2 Maccabees, 1 Maccabees, Judith, Tobit, and it is Jewish history. Wars, reliable Jewish history, but it's just not scripture. The New Testament quotes these books, but it never quotes the Apocrypha. And if you really want to rack your brain, the Greek Orthodox Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church, they actually think they were first before the Catholics. They have 80 books in their Bible. So if you really want to poke, you could ask the Catholic Bible why it doesn't have the 80 books. And there was a great split in 1054. It's called the Great Schism. And so they still fight over who was the original church. This is God's Word. Jesus affirmed this is God's Word. Any questions? I thought there'd be more questions. Yes.
So what do we say when people say, God told me this? How do we respond to that?
Oh boy, you're going to get me fired. Okay, God can speak to people, okay? I'm not putting limits on him. I've just never seen him do it. And when what they say has to line up with what is written. So, I mean, if I'm going to be super honest, when somebody tells me God told me, in my brain, I'm thinking, no, he didn't. And you guys want to know a real quick story? I really started to push on this 22 years ago because my ex-girlfriend said, God told me to break up with you. And I'm like, well, he didn't tell me nothing. And now after 22 years, and I watched her like go off the deep end and join the army and just get to be a drunken sailor, and maybe he did tell you. And I look at my wife now and I'm thinking, yes, he did nail it. So I've been pushing on like, what does it mean when God speaks to you? And I would be super skeptical. But I would give 1,000% confidence that every word in here is directly out of his mouth. If you want to know why I love the Bible, it's not because I like to nerd out. I don't read any other books. I don't like to read. I'm not that smart. But I read this to know its author. I want to know God. That's the only reason I spend time in the Bible. And then where this whole thing is going, I think I went through all my slides. Where this whole thing is going is Revelation 22:20. He who is the faithful witness to all these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. That was written 90 AD, almost 2,000 years ago. This is where the whole thing is headed. Where God will be their God and he will be their people. Evil will be obliterated, thrown into the lake of fire, which there is no shallow end to the lake of fire, and we will be with our King forever, eternally. It has no end. Any more questions? That was great, Colin. Is that less intimidating? Or did I just make it more confusing? I'll bring notes next week, okay. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your word. I pray that your spirit would speak to people through what you say, that we would have confidence that every word in there is your story, how you would like to tell it. May we marvel at who you are, come across things that are going to push us. We're not even going to have categories for them, but may we reshape our thinking around it. And then would we respond and not just read it to know the story, but to delight in you, to see your character, to see your patience, how you can forgive wretched sinners like myself. And we ask that you would make much of Christ in 2026. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.